I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a continuing ed conference at Yale Divinity School, Berkeley Divinity School, they're joint together. And one of the sessions we had was with Dr. Mark Brackett, who wrote a New York Times bestseller book called Permission to Feel. He is a PhD and he teaches emotional intelligence to the Yale medical students so that they can better treat the whole self. And he tells a story about his early days teaching as a professor at Yale in the medical school, where a bunch of undergraduates were coming and saying that they felt stressed and they wanted mental health resources in order to help them lower their stress levels. And so Yale set up a way that they could all receive therapy. And so week after week after week, these undergraduates went because they were stressed. They said to the therapist, "I am stressed. I am too stressed to function normally. Can you please help me?" Stressed is defined as too many demands, not enough resources. Too many demands placed on a person, not enough resources to meet those demands. That is the actual technical definition of stressed. Week after week after week of therapy for these undergraduates, nothing helped. They still said, "We are too stressed, we're too stressed, we're too stressed." So Mark Brackett and his team studied it, and they surveyed these students after week after week after week, and what they found was these students were not stressed. They did not have too many demands, and they had enough resources to meet the demands that they had. What they were feeling instead was envy. Envy is defined as feeling a desire for something somebody else has. The person sitting next to me works less than I do and yet gets better grades. They have a more well-connected family. They have more opportunities available to them. They were feeling envious, and yet their therapists were treating them for stress. It doesn't matter how great your therapist is if they're treating you for not having enough resources for the demands that are placed on you, but what you're really feeling is wanting what the person next to you has, no amount of therapy will work. So what he discovered is that it is really important to have an emotional intelligence, to know what you are feeling and to be able to express what you are feeling. So that way you can be treated appropriately and you can respond to the world in appropriate ways. So one of the words that really kind of became a catchphrase in 2020 and beyond was weary. We're weary. We're weary people. And Jesus uses it today. "Come to me, all you who are weary." Can anyone define weary? I have to tell you, I looked it up this morning. So if you can't, don't worry, I looked it up. Can anyone truly define weary? Weary is defined as tired, lacking in spirit or strength to push forward. So Jesus, in our gospel in Matthew today, he's just finished telling the 12 disciples what their instructions are, and they've gone out on their mission to go two by two. We're not really sure 100% where the disciples are. They just finished the instructions, so it's kind of safe to assume that the disciples aren't there, but next week the disciples will magically reappear. So we're not 100% sure where the disciples are. They may or may not be with Jesus at this point. We're going to assume that they're not with Jesus. Doesn't really matter if they're there or not. But Jesus is talking to a crowd of people, and he starts off almost frustrated. To what should I compare this generation? Children who are saying to play a flute and then you don't dance. People who are mourning, but they're not crying. And then he says, "You didn't like John the Baptist because he didn't eat or drink, and you don't like me because I do eat or drink. You didn't like John the Baptist because he didn't have friends. You don't like me because I do have friends." What is it, people? What do you want? What should I compare this generation to? He's frustrated. But then he ends his frustration by saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So let's take that word weary and say the sentence again that Jesus says to the crowd of people around him that he's slightly frustrated with, and use the actual definition of weary, assuming that Jesus knew the actual technical definition of weary. He says, "Come to me, all you who are tired, lacking the strength and spirit to push forward, and all of those who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So let's continue with the defining of things. What is a yoke? So if you've ever Googled a yoke, You probably see the image of two oxen that are yoked together. It's the wooden beam. I guess it could be metal, but it's typically a wooden beam that goes across their necks. It yokes the two animals side by side. And from there, they carry a burden. The load behind them is called the burden. They carry a load behind them, typically some sort of wagon that is hitched to that yoke, and they carry it for the farmer to maybe plow a field, to bring, transport one thing from this location to another location, and they go together. So take my yoke upon you. So what Jesus is saying here is that we will walk side by side. Jesus will stand next to us and yoke himself to us, and we will face our burden together. Now, any good farmer is going to manage that burden appropriately, manage the load that these animals are going to carry appropriately. It would be unfair to put the load or burden of two animals onto one animal's back. That would be unfair to the animal. It'd be cruel. You wouldn't get anywhere. Nothing would happen. So you manage the burden appropriately. And you make it heavy enough that both animals can carry it, but not so heavy that they can't move. And together they work together. But the other part of that is that if one animal stops, the other animal has to stop. They can't do it without them. If one animal stops to rest, the other animal must also stop and rest. They literally are stuck together and cannot move one without the other. So in a way, Jesus is saying that take my yoke upon you. Come and walk side by side with me. We will walk side by side throughout life. And when you are tired, when you are weary, lacking the strength to push on, we will stop. We will rest together until you are ready to move again. And then again, we will carry on and carry this burden to where we need to be. We are in the ordinary time of the church. It's the longest running season. It's the season after Pentecost. You know it's ordinary time because it's green. It'll be ordinary time until we are chilly and cold and getting ready for Christmas and Advent. So just think of that. If we'll go from this heat all the way to December, when it will be hopefully nice and cool. And we kind of have these seasons in the church that bookend ordinary time. So at ordinary time, we'll end with a season of Advent, which is a season of preparation for Jesus' second coming, but also then right after that, you have Christmas, Jesus' birth, which is a pretty miraculous story. I'm sure you all know the story of it. There are angels that sing, and there are shepherds that come, and it's this miraculous story of the virgin birth, and it's beautiful. And 2,000 years later, we still celebrate this birthday. And then you kind of jump forward to the other bookend, to Holy Week, to the last week of Jesus' life, to the crucifixion, and then to the resurrection. But what happens in between? Between those two amazing bookends is ordinary time. It is the time where we actually get to know Jesus. If all we had was the great miraculous birth and the great glorious resurrection, is that really something that you would lay down your life for? Is that something that if you were one of the disciples hearing Jesus say, come and follow me, you would jump off of the boat, leave your family to possibly never speak to them again, and leave and go be with this person that you don't know? Are those two stories, as great as they are, is it enough? Or do we need the ordinary time, the time in between where we actually get to meet the Jesus, get to meet the human Jesus? Somebody once asked, and if you don't have kids, you can picture somebody that you really, really love, the person that you love most in the world, or you can picture your kids. Maybe if you love people that aren't your kids more than them in the world, that's fine. Picture whoever you want in your mind that you love most in the world. Virginia, you can picture all of your kids, because I know they're here today, and I won't make them ask who you picture. So you'll picture all of your children. So would you trust Jesus with the people that you love most in the world? Would you trust him to raise your kids, to take care of your ailing parents, to take care of the people that you love more than anything else in this world? Would you trust Jesus to do that? And some of you are nodding your heads, and my rhetorical question is why? And my guess back to that would be because of the Jesus that we see in ordinary times. Yeah, Jesus is great in the manger. It's wonderful. It's an incredible story. I'm already preparing my sermon for it. And the Jesus on the cross and in the empty tomb, that's also great. But the Jesus who says, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That's the Jesus that I want to walk with in my life. The Jesus who cares about my heavy burdens, who cares about whether or not I have the strength and spirit to push forward. The Jesus who sees me, and understands that sometimes my burden is too great to bear. And the Jesus who says, it's okay, we'll stop here and we will rest. Matthew's quote again says, come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are tired and lacking the spirit or strength to push forward and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a Jesus that I would trust my kids with. Amen.